Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see
what's up and
the
welcome
vibe.
To Locked
Here are your
Bulls,
hosts, Jordan Malley
Network,
and Matt
your
Peck.
Your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com, or hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, for all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, questions, comments. And we will do our mailbag segments today. Well, one more nice day off. Here we are Wednesday, still no Bulls basketball until tomorrow. Bulls haven't played since last Tuesday. We're nearing the end of this All-Star break. And aside from the fun activities of All-Star weekend here in Chicago, Chicago showed out, certainly made the city proud, made me feel proud as a Chicagoan and a diehard Chicago sports fan. But of course, the other story all weekend long and coming into the start of this week is these rumors and various reports about the Bulls getting ready for some kind of change with their front office, and Bulls fans wondering just what exactly that might be. Starting before we get to mailbag with a little bit of house cleaning, we did get an update, an official update from the Bulls on Chris Dunn, who I talked about yesterday, who has been recovering from that MCL sprain that he suffered about 4 weeks ago. So here is the update. Will continue his current rehab program of his medial collateral ligament sprain for the next 4 to 6 weeks before moving to functional training. So this pretty much confirms what we had heard on a previous report from Casey Johnson, the insider for NBCSportsChicago.com, that it was certainly possible, and the Bulls were bracing for the very possible reality that they would be without Chris Dunn for the remainder of the season. Now, if you do that timeline of 4 to 6 more weeks, you're looking somewhere around on the, you know, beginning of April for when he could be once again reevaluated and then begin his training to come back. And considering the Bulls only play into the second week of April before their regular season comes to an end, and let's all assume here, which I think is a safe assumption, they will not be playoff bound at that time, that this essentially sounds like a out for the season confirmation. They have not in this report officially ruled him out for the rest of the season, but if you do the math and think that even 4 to 6 weeks then reevaluated, then he can begin training to work his way back. And, you know, of course, you know, the players have to get a practice or two in before they're ready. Some of them go and do a G League stint when that's a possibility on the table. Considering where the Bulls will likely be April 1st or around that time, likely eliminated from playoff contention, likely gearing towards the offseason, and in a position where it only behooves them to lose games as opposed to win them, this is essentially the nail in the coffin for Dunn's season. And I think it's frustrating, and I'm sure it must be frustrating for Chris. And I know that you know, Jordan and I, and also my guys, you know, John and Big Dave on Outsiders, have had our fun, and we've cracked jokes at Dunn's expense this season, as he continues his, you know, his woeful struggles shooting, you know, the three ball. which he got the green light to shoot from Jim Boylan this season. He has somewhat improved his finishing at the rim, and his defense has been quality. You could say it's been above average. Obviously generates a lot of steals in this defensive system that Boylan has the team playing. And you have seen, in addition to Wendell Carter Jr.'s absence, who hopefully the Bulls are getting back tomorrow night, still waiting on a confirmation there, although he did participate in yesterday's practice, that the compounding absences of Wendell and then Chris Dunn, the Bulls' defensive rating, which was one of the one things that Boylan was trying to hang his hat on and that John Paxson was proud of and hanging his hat on when he did a sort of a midseason round of interviews with people on the Bulls beat, has fallen off a cliff. Now, I think the praise of Chris Dunn from within the organization is, I mean, it's a little two-faced because they spent all of, you know, the early stages of this past offseason throwing him under the bus, saying he didn't do enough and that he didn't prepare himself for this season well enough, and that, yes, they were trying to trade him. And I've heard that that's what they told Coby White when they drafted him. They told Coby White, Satoransky, you know, and even before free agency, but when they drafted Coby, they knew that they were going to go out and target a veteran point guard to start, and that Coby would be the primary guy backing him up and leading that offensive unit off the bench. Because we're going to trade Chris Dunn. That didn't happen. Couldn't find any takers for Chris Dunn. And to his credit, Chris Dunn accepted his role, embraced his role as a guard off the bench whose primary focus would be setting the tone defensively. And I believe the last time I checked, he's second in the NBA in steals. So credit to him for that. And it's unfortunate that leading up to the deadline, when he had somewhat raised his non-existent trade value, he gets this injury, this MCL injury, that essentially wipes out any trade value he had. And now the Bulls are in a tricky situation. Assuming Dunn is out for the rest of the season, do they look at what he did this season as enough of a reason to keep him around? I think it's safe to say that he is no longer in the running of being this team's starting point guard of the future. I think the Bulls have decided that he and Zach don't necessarily play well together, and that Zach is obviously the most important and most valuable piece this team has right now, year three into the rebuild. The Bulls are also going to be cap-strapped this summer between Otto Porter Jr., almost 100% likely to pick up his $28 million player option. Still got another year of Felicio on the books. The Bulls will not have a lot of wiggle room, if any. And Dunn will be a restricted free agent. He could be a candidate for other teams out there to use their mid-level exception. But some of this talk about Dunn and his value we've heard in recent weeks of maybe he could get a deal somewhere from $8 to $12 million annually for maybe 3 years, maybe even 4 years. I don't see those kinds of offers coming for Chris Dunn. I mean, especially with this injury. If he had finished this season healthy, then maybe he could have gotten that. But and maybe he could be looking to get maybe not overpaid, but fairly paid in a free agent class in 2020 that is pretty shallow. Because anytime it's a shallow free agent summer, the players who are available get overpaid by the teams that have money and want to spend money. But like the Bulls have always been keeping one eye on 2021 free agency, because that is a much bigger and more talented and stacked free agent class, so is the rest of the NBA. So teams with money to spend this summer are likely to be, I think, prudent and modest with their free agent signings this summer so that they can maintain the flexibility they have moving into free agency 2021. So when it comes to Dunn and the fate of his future as a Bull or not a Bull, the injury, I think, could increase his likelihood of staying around. Maybe it increases the likelihood of Dunn taking a qualifying offer. Or maybe increases the likelihood of Dunn getting fewer deals and less lucrative deals offered to him in restricted free agency from other teams that the Bulls would feel comfortable matching. So I think that essentially is what this latest injury update means for Chris Dunn and the Bulls as we move forward into those offseason negotiations. I think it increases the likelihood that the Bulls see him as a valuable piece to keep around. And while I do appreciate what Dunn did to embrace his role this season and set the tone defensively, I still don't see him as a piece that is absolutely a must-keep piece. I don't think his defense is that elite that keeping him around should be a top priority. But because of the way that this free agent class and this summer is set up and where the Bulls are in their cap situation and the fact that his value on the market probably takes a hit by missing the final, you know, 35 so games of this season, and the fact that another injury, even though this was a freak injury where his own player, his own teammate Thad Young, ran into him, it's another freak injury, just like when he fell on that dunk in that game against the Warriors a couple years ago and like broke his face. Freak injury, but a tag on a player that still happens, unfortunately. Injury prone player in a summer when people are probably trying to keep their flexibility and not overpay guys. And as much as you want to give Dunn credit for, you know, gradually, modestly improving his finishing at the rim this season, he's still, in my opinion, a one-way player. He's a defense player that allows such freedom and flexibility of your opponent's defense because he gives you nothing offensively. Not nothing. It's mean to say nothing, but next to nothing. And defenses can adjust to, especially at least in this system that the Bulls are playing, not guarding Chris Dunn. So in that sense, to me, he is a one-way player. And I don't think you should be overpaying a one-way player who just brings the defense. So we'll see what happens there with Chris Dunn. But I think that that is, right now, the effect that that injury update will have on the future of Dunn and the Bulls. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you in part by VisitArizona.com. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums from 15 different Major League Baseball teams in 75-degree temperatures. All 10 of those stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet your favorite players and get their autographs before the games. And that's not all. There's so much to see and do nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Water parks, horseback rides, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. And speaking of sponsors, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Bulls is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Bulls fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Bulls fans and a predominantly male audience that's well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. With that, let's get to some mailbag content, and we're going to kick off with Matthew from Leeds, who says what's up to us via Facebook. So this was from All-Star Weekend. Hey guys, I've been watching ESPN clips on YouTube. There was one uploaded yesterday, which I believe was Friday, this past Friday, with Scotty, T-Mac, and Wilbon. You have got to see it. They talk about fans being kicked out of a game for wearing jerseys saying Fire Gar Packs. Then someone in the crowd shouts, "Fire him!" We then see for a split second Pippen waving his hand in encouragement of that. I see this as Scotty agreeing with all of us fans that Gar Packs need to go. If you haven't seen it, you've got to go check it out. Thank you for checking in, Matthew, and for this heads up. I was aware of what clip you were talking about. It was an episode of The Jump that they were doing live on site here in Chicago as part of All-Star Weekend. And it was the same segment where Scotty said, "I don't know who half the players are on this Bulls roster right now." And he and T-Mac both saying these, you know, with the injuries that the Bulls have endured, that the current starting lineups for the Bulls right now are not starters on, you know, on other NBA teams. And I talked a little bit about that in a recent episode about how Scotty clowning the Bulls while still being a special advisor to the Reinsdorfs and sort of, you know, an advocate for the organization is perhaps the most embarrassing thing of all that happened All-Star Weekend, when you had, you know, Gary Payton clowning D. Wade's, you know, highway robbery of the Bulls with that completely ridiculous contract. And you had Fire Gar Pax chance behind Zach LaVine when he went on First Take and all these things. The Scotty one, I think, is the most embarrassing for the organization. He works for them. This dude helped you win six titles. You do not have the six banners in the United Center right now without Scotty Pippen, a Hall of Fame player, who now has gone on to be a contributor in national NBA media, a regular guest on The Jump. He's on The Jump here in Chicago for an All-Star Weekend episode. And this is detail that Matthew points out to us is one that I did not catch the first time I watched this clip, because much like there was that Fire Gar Pax chant on the set of First Take, there was one fan in particular who you could hear from the background yelling "Fire him" when Rachel Nichols is talking about Gar and John Paxson. And when they cut back to, they have like a graphic up on the screen while they're talking over it. And as they're cutting back to a live feed of Rachel, Michael Wilbon, Scotty, and T-Mac, you see Scotty kind of waving from behind, like waving in the direction behind him, kind of like a "let's hear it" motion, calling for a little bit more. It looks like he's calling for more people to join in on this "fire 'em" chant, this Fire Gar Pax chant. And that is different than Scotty just saying, "I don't know who half the players are." That is definitely different, because we have not heard Scotty say in any of his appearances in national media, "I think that these men should be fired." And look, John Paxson is a former teammate of Scotty, and Gar has been with the organization a long time, including before Scotty even hung up his sneakers and retired. And certainly since Scotty has come back to the organization as a special advisor and an ambassador for the Chicago Bulls. So he knows these gentlemen very well and probably doesn't feel super comfortable saying these guys need to go. They should have been fired yesterday on his national platform, because in some way he would feel bad. But this one little instance, Scotty allowed himself to maybe show people how he really feels. That perhaps he is in agreement with a lot of us in the fan base who think, hey, the old days were great. And thanks to John for hitting that three against the Phoenix Suns in 93. And I'm sure Scotty has a lot of appreciation for the many ways in which John Paxson put up with Michael Jordan, who Scotty knows very well was a very hard teammate to play with. But the past is the past, man. And this organization and this fan base is hungry for winners again. And one Eastern Conference Finals appearance in 17 years at the helm is not going to cut it, John. And it's nice to see Scotty give just the slightest little acknowledgement that, yeah, I'm on board. this fire guard packs movement we have going on, I'm on board. These guys got to go. And it's just one of the latest examples of this hashtag FireGuard Packs trend finally getting some national attention. And thanks again to Matthew from Leeds for pointing this out, because there we were again today on today's episode of The Jump. Rachel Nichols herself tweeted out a clip, and her guests are former Bulls beat writer Nick Friedel, who knows a lot of this stuff, the ins and outs of this organization and their struggles very well, a friend of this very podcast who has now moved out to the West Coast to cover primarily the Warriors for ESPN. But so Friedel was on The Jump with Rachel and Kendrick Perkins, and they had a segment talking about this FireGuard Packs movement, and Rachel Nichols tweets a clip of their segment talking about the FireGuard Packs movement with the hashtag FireGuard Packs. And let's see. 13.6 thousand views on this video, and as I'm talking to you now, it had only been tweeted out by Rachel approximately 15 minutes ago. It's already got 44 retweets, 196 likes, and I'm sure that will only continue to grow. That's a big part of why we were excited to have All-Star Weekend here in Chicago. Yes, it's cool that all these festivities and the bright lights and the biggest stars, not just the NBA, but other athletes, Hollywood stars, all descend upon Chicago, and we can rep our city and say, look how great this city is. Also a great basketball city. Please, for the love of God, stars, come play here. Want to play here. And let's also shine a spotlight on the rotten rat carcass that is this organization and how incompetent they are and how much the fans of this great basketball city deserve better, and that it is well past time to pass the torch to a new voice and not share that torch while giving people different titles and shuffling people around that are already here and still here. No, pass the torch. And that was such an important part of All-Star Weekend being in Chicago. The Bulls have gotten enough of a pass from the national media, largely because, you know, even in recent years, before LeBron showed up and shortly after, the Lakers, a gigantic market team that gets a lot of attention, had their own turmoil with like the Magic Johnson, you know, saga and Genie Bus this and Palinka that. And they had all kinds of drama on a team that was struggling. The New York Knicks are an even more disaster with James Dolan and all of the things that he's trying to do and failing to do. And the Knicks are even one of the few teams in the league that can say they are bigger market, bigger deal, of course, getting more national attention than the Bulls. So because in the last few seasons, collectively, the Lakers and Knicks have been experiencing their various versions of turmoil and dirty laundry being aired, this Bulls organization has largely gotten a pass. But All-Star Weekend coming here, no more hall pass. The Bulls got roasted this past weekend and are continuing to do so as we are in a new week of the NBA calendar. All-Star Weekend is over. It's Tuesday, February 19th. All-Star Weekend has left the city, and national media is still talking about hashtag FireGuard Packs. That's a good thing. This text comes to us from the 404. That part of my take episode with Joakim Noah was awesome. I now know what was questionable before. I want him on the Bulls. Not just for nostalgia. We need him. He can bring that mentality. You know the one. Is that mentality that you speak of the Bulls across the chest mentality? Or the perhaps the Stacey King hard hat and lunch pail mentality? I mean, Joakim is Joakim. He is probably my second favorite Bull of all time behind MJ. He put on for this city so hard while he was here. And a part of the conversation in that podcast, which if you haven't listened to it yet, I suggest you do because it's great, is what Big Cat was talking about with Joakim about like the reason that this city loved you and the reason the Bulls fans will always love you is that you were one of those competitive guys that, however hard the other nine guys on the court were playing, you were playing five times harder. That's what Chicago always thought about Joakim Noah. And, you know, they talked about one of the greatest examples of that in that playoff series against Brooklyn, where, you know, Derrick Rose was out, Luol Deng was on his deathbed. Kirk was hurt. Like the team was dilapidated, and Joakim took a bunch of random pieces, bits and pieces, and went into Brooklyn and won a game seven on the road while playing on one foot because he had some pretty bad plantar fasciitis. And it's that kind of stuff that we all loved about Joakim and still do and remember fondly. He did say on that podcast that he is still trying to make his way back into the league. He is not retired. He's been working out. You can see it on his Instagram page. If you follow Joakim on Instagram, he's doing a lot of working out. He feels really good about his body. He's recovered from that injury that he had, he repaired something that was wrong with his Achilles. And I think I would love to see Joakim back in a Bulls jersey if he wants to have one last run and prove that he still has what it takes to play in the NBA. We saw what he did with the Memphis Grizzlies last season. He was putting up solid minutes off the bench, doing Joakim things. However, I think that there has to be a changing of the guard before Joakim would come back to Chicago. I think he and Jim Boylan would definitely not get along, even though Jim Boylan is, you know, like tough love kind of guy in a similar way that Tibbs was. You could, like, and Joakim and Tibbs had moments where they butted heads, but Joakim respected Tibbs because Tibbs won. Jim Boylan hasn't won dick. And the way he treats his players, I think we can all agree, is fairly disrespectful, and Joakim would not stand for that. And there is the other element to when Joakim came around as part of the team honoring Luol Deng. Remember that back in, I want to say, November? That, you know, he signed a one-day contract to retire officially as a member of the Chicago Bulls organization. They brought a lot of Luol Deng's old teammates back, you know, some of them from the Baby Bulls years, some of them from, you know, the D. Rose, Joakim conference finals year. And that it has been reported through a couple of different outlets that the way Gar Forman treated those former Bulls players when they were all up in the owner's suite hanging out for Luol's special night, Gar Forman acted aloof and indifferent towards those players being back in the building, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So even if he's off scouting somewhere, I don't know if Joakim wants to come back and play for an organization that still employs Gar Forman. I don't know if Joakim has a solid enough relationship with John Paxson that he would want to come back and play for this organization. Because things got ugly at the end of Joakim's tenure. And he felt like things were being said in the media that he thought were false. The whole conflict between him and Fred Hoiberg, and Hoiberg telling the media that Joakim asked to come off the bench and give up his starting spot. Joakim very strongly refuting the fact that he ever said that. And the Bulls didn't trade him away like they traded away Derrick Rose, but it's not like this team did everything they could and should have done for Joakim while he was here and showed him the respect that he deserved. So I don't know right now if Joakim would be willing to come back and play with the Bulls. As things stand, maybe the one thing that would say that would get him to say yes is just how competitive he is and how starved he is to get back in the league and prove he can still compete at this level. And that at that point, because Joakim is such a solid guy, he could let bygones be bygones, and he could extend an olive branch to say, all right, Bulls, let's fix this. Because I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see Joakim back. Um, 217 says, chances Doug Collins is the new GM. I'm saying 100%. Typical fucking Reinsdorf bullshit. Well, that's about as simple and eloquent as I could put it. Somebody else on Twitter asked us, you know, tagged me and Jordan and our Locked On Bulls account about Doug Collins and what exactly his role will be moving forward with these rumors and reports about a new Bulls front office. I don't think that Doug will be named the new GM because based on what we're hearing, even if the title changes and shuffling around happen and Gar and John are still here, Gar will, it seems without a doubt now, be removed from the title of general manager, and that they will be looking to hire someone to name as general manager. I don't think that person will be Doug Collins, because what we've heard is that they are looking for an outside voice, and that part of Joe Cowley's initial column reporting is for the Sun-Times about All-Star Weekend and how the Bulls were using All-Star Weekend to start a broad search is that it is, in fact, a broad search. First time in a while. Kudos, Bulls. Way to think outside the box for fucking once. Doug Collins is not outside the box. Doug Collins is already in the box. So while I do think that Doug Collins will continue to be a voice and an advisor, I do not think he is the one who will be pointed to as the new GM. As far as what Doug Collins does now and what he might do differently as we move forward, we know that one of the things that Doug voiced his opinion on was he didn't like the Fred Hoiberg hire, and because of that is not a big fan of Gar Forman and doesn't think that Gar Forman is good at picking coaches. We know that he's a sounding board for John Paxson, and that's about all we know as far as the concrete lines of what Doug Collins' job is. Like that famous line from Office Space, what would you say you do here? So I'm curious to wonder if Doug Collins stays on board with these changes, because right now we are still speculating as to just how severe these changes will be. Because if the Bulls do what we all think and hope they should do, which is clean house and start over, Michael, get approval from Daddy to fire everyone and bring in a new president of basketball operations, even though that's like technically Michael Reinsdorf himself is the president of the Bulls right now. Call him the VP if you want. Give him John Paxson's job. Put them in charge of everything. And to me, I don't know what Doug Collins has done to really help this team since he came on board as advisor. Because, yeah, I guess he was a voice that led to the Bulls firing Hoiberg and replacing him with Jim Boylan. We don't know specifically, because we haven't heard, what Doug Collins thinks of Jim Boylan and the job he's doing. But in that sense, all that we know Doug Collins has done is replaced an evil we knew with a worse evil that we didn't know. Because, yeah, things weren't great under Fred, and Fred had his flaws as an NBA head coach. Doug Collins urges the Bulls to get rid of Gar's guy, Fred. But you took Fred Hoiberg and replaced him with an even worse coach. That is, by and large, what we know Doug Collins has done so far as an advisor. So, to me, if the Bulls do actually clean house and Doug Collins leaving the organization is okay or is part of that cleaning house, I'd be fine with it. Enough of the inside voices. We need outside voices. However, I will also say that as far as everyone involved in this organization right now, Doug Collins probably carries the most weight and respect around the league with important people. And the other finicky part to that, if they decide to keep Doug around and maybe change Doug's title, is that back when the Bulls were going through a previous coaching search and Doug Collins' name came up, they opted not to hire Doug Collins and make him the head coach of this team for the second time. Because a young, wild-haired Doug Collins was running things for a while before the team handed the reins to Phil Jackson. The reason they didn't give Doug Collins the head coaching job for a second time is because Jerry Reinsdorf said he didn't want to ultimately have to fire his friend. And that was a big reason why they didn't hire Doug. Well, I don't want to hire my friend, because what if I have to fire my friend? Are you kidding me? What is this, fucking fifth grade? Is this fifth grade politics? You're running a multi-billion-dollar organization, but it's the same thing that has kept John Paxson in his seat. It's the same thing that has kept Gar Forman in his seat. Jerry's loyal to a fault, and he doesn't want to fire people that he considers to be his friends. So I don't know how that dynamic changes at all if Doug Collins stays on board and gets himself a different title. a more prominent title than just special advisor. But that will certainly be a very interesting thing to keep an eye on as we move forward through these coming months of just exactly what changes with this Bulls front office. Last one, and then we'll get out of here. This comes to us from the 321. Hey, guys, it's Nate. Do y'all feel like Kobe is struggling this season because of the system slash Boylan, or do y'all think we overrated him or had too high of expectations? Keep up the awesome job. Thanks for checking in, Nate, and appreciate that. Okay, I think it's a combination of those things, which, you know, maybe is a cop-out answer, but I do honestly believe that both of those things are true. He has struggled because of the system. He has been told to do certain things by Jim Boylan and this team staff that didn't translate to the best version of Kobe White we could see. Essentially, Kobe White was told to go out there and shoot, go out there and score. And his percentages this season, his rookie season, are pretty terrible. Because I think many times when Kobe White gets out there and gets his minutes, he has this thought that, like, I got to go score or they're going to pull me. So we've seen nights where he chucks up a very inefficient number of field goals made versus field goals attempted. And I think, and I think I mentioned it before, he also was told one thing and then asked to do another about his role on this team as soon as he was drafted. Because partly the team failed to find a trading partner for Chris Dunn. I also think it's possible that as a seventh overall pick, yeah, some of the fan base, if not all, had too high of expectations for Kobe. He was an exciting player to watch at UNC. Certainly a dynamic scorer at the collegiate level. And Bulls fans, anytime we get a new draft pick, we feel like there's this feeling of like, this brand new toy on Christmas morning that we really want to play with. We want to see everything that it can do. And it's our new favorite toy. Kobe White became the new favorite toy for a fan base that after last season was kind of worried about the core of Zach and Lowry and Wendell. And I think expectations were a little bit too high because we knew that the team had to address the point guard situation. They have not found a solution at that position since an aging and an injured Derrick Rose was traded away. And Bulls fans so desperately wanted Kobe to be an immediate answer. Well, he's not. He was 19, now recently 20, happy birthday Kobe White, year-old kid on a bad rebuilding team. So to that end, yes, I do think that expectations for Kobe were too high this season. I think he could be a quality player in the NBA. I think right now, quality player is about as far as I'm willing to go based on what I've seen. I know that there are a lot of Bulls fans who believe that Kobe White has all-star potential. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying I'm not there yet. Because again, 19-year-old rookie. And it's I don't fault Bulls fans for having these wild expectations because you're trying to find something to feel good about. As disgusting as this season was, as disgusting as last season was, you try and find bright spots somewhere. And while some people like my pal C. Red Fred are off gallivanting and making bold predictions about 40-plus win seasons and trying to find positives that way, some of us who choose to live in reality have to find more realistic things to want to be positive and optimistic about. And Kobe White, a young, talented rookie, certainly fits that bill. Even our second-round pick rookie, Daniel Gafford, when he finally got into Boylan's rotation, fits that bill. A young, exciting player who shows promise and potential. But promise and potential are not the same thing as Bulls fans who wanted Kobe White starting out of the gate this season. Or think that even through 20 or 30 games this season that he should have gotten that starting spot over Satoransky. It's going to take time to develop him. And for the love of God, let's all hope that he gets better, smarter people on this coaching staff to help develop him. But in the meantime, I think, Nate, it's a combination of both. He struggled in Boylan's system. because everyone has struggled in Boylan's system. And he's been asked to do different things. And the message from the coaching staff and from the Bulls relayed to Kobe has been inconsistent from the day they drafted him. And that's got to be frustrating for a young player playing in their first NBA season. But in my opinion, the expectations from the fan base were also too high. That's it for today. Appreciate all of you listening. We are one more day away from the Bulls resuming their NBA schedule, their plan. Thursday night at home, start of a four-game homestand, and 27 games left. Let's see what we do with those. Keep hitting us up on all of our various platforms on social media, email, and that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. For my partner Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, enjoy your Wednesday, Bulls fans, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com